things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Hello and welcome to Right Now Radio, or Womaninji, to our Gunai language speaking listeners. This is Right Now Radio on 3CR 855 AM, and I'm your host, Felicity James. And Ben Shockman is here with me from the Human Rights Law Centre. He's doing the panelling tonight. Thanks, Ben.
Good evening, and Womaninji, Felicity.
Thanks very much, Ben. Now, the time is 6 PM, and we'll be with you until 6:30 PM. Each Thursday night, Right Now Radio discusses human rights issues affecting Australians today. This month at Right Now, we're focusing on children's rights, and tonight we're zooming in on Indigenous education. We're revisiting Woolloombellum College in Morwell, one of Victoria's Koori Pathways schools. Last year, I spoke with Woolloombellum's leading teacher, Lynette Solomon Dent, about her role in revitalising Victoria's Indigenous languages. Tonight, we're speaking with Lynette Solomon Dent again and the principal at Woolloombellum College, Matthew Snell, about their response to a recent review of Victoria's four Koori Pathways schools. The findings of the review were finally made public last month after a report by the independent body, National Curriculum Services, was handed to the Education Minister. The Koori Pathways school model began in 2009, but the schools have been through various reincarnations in Woolloombellum's case since it opened back in 1995. The objective of the pathway model was to transition those Indigenous students who have disengaged, often on a path to expulsion or worse, back into the mainstream schools. It's widely acknowledged that for at least one of the schools, the model hasn't worked. Glenroy's Ballert Murup School closed its doors last year with just one student. The focus of media attention has been on what the review has described as unacceptable attendance rates, poor academic achievement, and high costs. The teachers have even been described as unfit for mainstream school by Indigenous academic Chris Sara. But is this a fair portrayal? And is it fair to paint all of the schools with the same brush? Woolloombellum's principal, Matthew Snell, says their school is staffed with dedicated teachers who provide a safety net for the students. Woolloombellum's leading teacher, Auntie Lynn Solomon Dent, has been teaching for more than 25 years. She says the school is saving these young people before they take the next step towards the juvenile justice system, and that these students would otherwise have nowhere to go. Whatever your opinion, the staff at Woolloombellum College deserve to have their say. Here's that report. Victoria's four Koori Pathway schools in Morwell, Swan Hill, Mildura and Glenroy face an uncertain future following a Victorian Government Commission review released last month. They have been described as an unsustainable and expensive failure. But are we getting the full story? Supporting the idea that the schools have been an expensive failure is an article in The Age last month, which quotes low enrolment figures and high cost per student. The focus is on Woolloombellum College in Morwell, which is said to be the most expensive school in the state, with just 8 enrolments last year. At the end of the article, Dr. Chris Sara, an Indigenous academic, is quoted. He says the schools have been staffed with teachers who are not considered fit for mainstream school, and that this has prevented the schools from reaching their potential. So what is the perspective of those with first-hand knowledge of the schools? I spoke with Lynette Solomon Dent, a respected community leader and teacher at Woolloombellum College in Morwell, about her response to the review and the media's coverage. She says the media reports have only provided an overview of the four schools, and while this may be accurate, it doesn't take into account the fact that Woolloombellum has operated differently, she says, when compared to the other schools. Lynette Solomon Dent is also very disappointed about the way teachers such as herself have been portrayed in the media.
I am still so hurt by that response as an Aboriginal woman, because I have got a good name as an Aboriginal teacher, and I felt that how dare someone make that remark about us at our school, about me personally, when they have not met me, they have not seen that the people at Woolloombalam here have all chose to come here and stay here and work with our Koori kids who are disengaged to make them better citizens for our community. Our principal, Matthew Snell, he chose to be here. We applied for the jobs, both me and him. I got the leading teacher role. Matthew got the principal role. Matthew had worked with disengaged youth before. We have Brett, who is with us. He has worked with disengaged youth before. We have community Aboriginal people who work in the school and another Aboriginal teacher. So to say that in a national newspaper that everybody read and now thinks that we are teachers who cannot make it in mainstream is a disgusting quote. And I have asked that reporter, how could they do that when they have never even come to Woolloombalam and spoken to any of us here or even seen what we do with our kids? And I felt as an Aboriginal woman that Chris Sari should not have even responded to that, because Chris Sari has not come and seen our school as it operates now as the Pathway Schools. He did the review on the school as it was before it became the Pathway Schools. So he should come, see how we are and who the new teachers are, and if he does the quote then, well then, I would challenge him even then. But he should not have even said that when he has not been here.
Lynette Solomon-Dent, in fact, co-wrote Indigenous Language Curriculum Standards for the Victorian Curriculum Assessment Authority, which is now part of the Languages Other Than English or LOAT Learning for preps to Year 10 students. She was a teacher at Woolloombalam when it opened its doors in 1995.
I started at Woolloombalam on the very first day in 1995. I think it was 31st of January, and it was something like a 40-degree day, and we had 100 excited little Koori kids from grades preps to 10, 11.
The government press release talks about the Pathway Schools being opened in 2009. Many people may not be aware that these schools have been a feature of the local community for a long period. Can you tell us a bit about that history?
They started in 1995 as what they called the Code Schools, the Koori Open Door Education School, and they changed where they were sort of under the umbrella of a major school, the Kurnai campus here, and then we became an independent school. And then there was a review done and they decided that they might close down the school, and there was a lot of media attention where you might remember there was some kids rode their bicycles down from Mildura and ended up on the Parliament House. So they decided rather than close down the school, they would create these pathway schools and have disengaged Koori youth who were disengaged from their mainstream schools. So that was where the 2009 came in.
And what role has the school played in the community over the years? And has this changed now it's a pathway school?
So I've seen the kids who started at Woolloombalam in 1995 who are fantastic role models out in our community now. Now, my belief is because they were already disengaged from school then, they would never have got to be those role models that they are now in the community if they hadn't started at Woolloombalam from 95 right up, you know, into the 2005 area. Some of those role models are now artists. They're out in Latrobe Community Health. They're out in education. One of my students, she's doing a Bachelor of Early Childhood. I don't really believe that those experiences and opportunities probably would have come to them if they stayed in mainstream, because they weren't really attending their primary school years, and they definitely, if they're not attending primary school, they're not going to go on to secondary school and have successful secondary schools.
What do you say about the comments in the report that there was a culture of lowered expectations in the Koorie Pathway schools?
If mainstreams were looking after our Koorie kids, we wouldn't have to have this school, ideally. That's my thought. But mainstreams aren't really looking after our kids, and our kids are falling through the cracks to where we are getting them here at the path, our pathway school, where they are in grade 9 and yet they're at grade 3, 4, 5 level. You know, that's quite disgusting. I didn't get them to that level, but when they're here at our pathway schools, we are working hard one-on-one to get them up to where they should be with literacy and numeracy and their other 8 key learning areas, so that they can transition back into mainstream, because the mainstream schools have a lot more subjects to offer than we do at the pathway schools. I know that over at, you know, schools around us like Luana College, they have like clay target shooting, they have science, they have ceramics, they have graphics. We can't offer those things here. We have like our basic maths, English, we're introducing science, we have art, we have humanities with history and geography, but we do have a great focus on language, culture, who they are, building them strong, telling them that it's okay to be Aboriginal and be proud of it, and you can achieve whatever you want to be. And when I ask them, what do you want to be when you leave school? If they say they want to be a doctor, or they want to be somebody who might work out in health area, I encourage them that they can do that, they can achieve that. But I know that when they're in mainstream, they are told, don't achieve that high level because you'll never get there. That's what they're told by their mainstream teachers. I don't think that it's we lower their expectation. It's they already come from a mainstream school where they are disengaged already, and they have, rather than like fall away, get into the juvenile justice system, which often happens. Before that happens, where that step between mainstream and ending up in the juvenile justice system, the pathway school is there to save them.
That was an interview with Lynette Solomon-Dent, a teacher at Woolloombellum College. We're going to take a short break, but stay with us because we're going to be chatting to the principal at Woolloombellum College, Matthew Snell, about the findings of the Koorie Pathway School Review. This is some Indigenous hip-hop by local Latrobe Valley artist Junior Boy. He grew up in Druin in West Gippsland and says he was inspired by his uncle Lionel Rose to find something he loves and go for it. And turns out he loves making music. This is Ain't It the Same. Welcome back to 3CR 855am on digital or streaming on your internet. Now we're going to hear from Woolloombellum College School Principal Matthew Snell. He was hoping the Koorie Pathway Schools Review would look into what his school actually does, the vital role it plays within the community. Instead, he says the report barely touched the surface and included misleading attendance figures and costs per student. With a focus in the review and in the media reports on 8 students being enrolled at the time of the census data collection, which then flowed through to a 56% attendance rate figure and obviously higher costs per student. In fact, over the course of 2011, Matthew Snell says the school had 32 enrolments. Teachers at the school say their current enrolments sit at 28, but they fluctuate because of the way the school functions in practice.
In terms of that, the findings that were handed down, we were pretty disappointed with how the school was painted by the findings. Certainly we had issues with the figures in terms of attendance and also in terms of enrolment. For instance, the enrolment I think they used at census was 8 kids at the time, and with 56% attendance they used the 32 kids that have attended last year. So I consider that they picked and chose their the figures that they wanted to put forward.
Do you think that the role the school plays in the community is widely understood and was reflected in the review?
What we actually do at Woolloombellum is work closely with the secondary colleges, both Kurnai at Morwell and Churchill, and also Lawana Secondary College and Traralgon Secondary College. And we try and come up with what best fits for that student. I mean, between us and the secondary colleges, we're very aware of student needs, and trying to cater for those student needs is very important to us. So if a student at Traralgon Secondary School may need a bit of a chop-out, maybe on a or assistance on a Monday and Friday, I might say to the school that we'll take the student on a Monday and Friday while they remain at their mainstream school on a Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. So currently there's, I think we've got 13 students in that type of setup where they're part-time at their main school and a few days a week with us. We're probably the major pathway school that actually run with the recommendations. When the school's current operation was set up 3 years ago, we were the ones that followed the recommendations. So we only have students from year 7 to year 10, or cater for students in year 7 to year 10. We only have solely Indigenous kids at the school, and certainly we don't have any primary school kids at all. So when we're dealing with year 7 to 10, certainly year 7 and 8 are a lot different from the year 9 and 10s, where we can actually start looking at pathways forwards out of the education system if that's what the student requires. So we might look at traineeships or support into a TAFE where they can actually go and do something like a pre-apprenticeship and those type of things. So we assist with those pathways for the year 9 and 10s in particular, and also if there's a year 9 and 10 that wants to get back into a mainstream secondary, we certainly help them with that in terms of providing support here that'll assist them when they get into back into their mainstream, which has happened on numerous occasions over the last 3 years. And unlike other schools, we keep the window open because we have kids here. Currently, or this year, we've had, I think, 4 or 5 from Traralgon Secondary. And there's 3 kids that are making their switch back into Traralgon Secondary. So their numbers, our numbers, don't really show that in when it comes to census. I think in terms of the review, it was pretty obvious what they were looking for in terms of the information that came out of it. It sort of scratched on the surface of what we really do. So I think it was a bit, I don't know, the findings that they wanted to find, if that makes sense.
What's your response to the labelling of Koori Pathway Schools as dumping grounds, as mentioned in the review, and the reference in the media to teachers being unfit for mainstream schools?
I mean, these schools are set up so ideally, if everything was going swimmingly in a mainstream school, we'd have no students at all. But obviously, there's difficulties in our community, and there's also difficulties for the students that are attending your mainstream secondaries from time to time. So when those difficulties arise or there's something go awry with some of the kids, we tend to come in and help out. So I don't see it as a dumping ground. I just think it's something that that we deal with from day to day in the Latrobe Valley. And I think we've been able to support these students to the best as we can. We have the resources here to do it, so we try and put in programs in place that do support the kids that come here. I've got a staff that are very willing to help out and assist with the pathways of these kids. And then also that probably extends from the secondary colleges because they see it as an opportunity for the, if things have been falling away at a mainstream secondary, they see it as a resource that they can tap into for the benefit of the kids.
You've mentioned that the teachers go out of their way to help the students and that for this reason some of the comments in the media have been particularly offensive. Can you give any examples of how teachers have helped students?
Look, I've got numerous staff that will link in with if a student's unwell, go and see them in terms of an organised doctor's support or health support for the student, certainly with the range of issues that some students come to school. It's not as easy as just focusing on education first. it's certainly trying to build that rapport first up with them to get them back into a school education setting. So when I say staff go out of the way, they might be involved with trips that are outside of school hours that they've made up off their own bat, and that's like many teachers, so I'm not saying that it's purely in our school, but certainly whether it be buy some clothing at different times or assist with a lunch or football tickets on a weekend or something like that, I certainly have a number of staff that are very willing to help out students and help them feel more comfortable when they're at school or involved in the school community or the community as a whole.
When I called on Monday, you were actually called away to deal with a student issue in Sale, is that right?
Yeah, look, and that happens quite often. That was certainly a very late night too. There was an issue with one of the students and we certainly needed to put some extra support in place for that student at that time. Unfortunately, there's circumstances that are pretty unsavoury from time to time, and we try and deal with it as best we can with the students' best interest and at heart.
How important do you think the school has been in helping revitalise the local Gunai language, for example?
Yes, certainly we're very lucky to have Lynette Solomon Dent working at the school. She's been fantastic with what she's done not only at our school but also at Gibbs TAFE in terms of language, and with our school council president, Doris Patton, who also is down at Gibbs TAFE, who down in the Koorie unit. And I constantly marvel at what Lynette in particular does with us in terms of the work she's put into the curriculum, not only here but statewide with different things in terms of language.
That was an interview with Matthew Snell, the principal at Woolloombellum College in Morwell, about his response to the Victorian Government Commission review into Koorie Pathways schools. Before that, we heard from Woolloombellum teacher Lynette Solomon Dent. To finish our report on Woolloombellum College tonight, this is former student and local artist Ronald Edwards. I visited Woolloombellum earlier this year while the review was underway and asked him what the school means to the community and how he would react to its closure.
Where would our teenagers be if that school wasn't there? They would be probably on the streets or, you know, doing other stuff. Yeah, so I'll be very upset and sad, as you can hear in my voice. Yeah, so I'll be very devastated and, yeah, upset if that ever closed down.
You're listening to Right Now Radio on 3CR 855am. We're going to finish the show tonight with this week's human rights news.
Makes me want to get my Batman costume out, that news thing.
Well, we'll just save that for later, Ben. First, we have some news on the National Disability Insurance Scheme. As you've probably heard in the news today, Victoria and New South Wales state governments have refused to fund the National Disability Insurance Scheme trials in their respective states, The Age has reported today. South Australia, Tasmania and the ACT have agreed to partially fund the trials. Disability advocates and The Age's political editor, Michelle Grattan, agree that the Baillieu government will have some explaining to do to the disabled and their families. Julia Gillard says the door remains open to the coalition-led states. And I've got Ben Shockman here with us in the studio, as I mentioned earlier.
Putting on my Batman cape.
And he's going to also tell us about some human rights news this week in relation to the Olympics.
Well, we just thought we'd mention, obviously, London Olympics opening ceremony is, I think it's Friday night London time, so everyone will be getting up early on Saturday morning. But just to bring a bit of a human rights angle to what's been going on at the Olympics, two quick things to mention. One, obviously, is the gender debate being sparked earlier this week with key or prominent female athletes coming out and saying that they'd consider boycotting the games if there wasn't a female flag bearer. So it has raised all these very interesting equality and non-discrimination issues. I think off the top of my head, male athletes have been a flag bearer for the past four Olympics in a row. So Good to see some human rights and social justice angles being used, and who said that there was never any politics in sport. And the one other issue that I just wanted to mention very briefly, I read an article quite a few years ago and have seen it prop up in the news. There's a South African athlete by the name of Oscar Pistorius, and he's sort of affectionately known as the Blade Runner because he's a double amputee. I can't remember off the top of my head whether he was born without both legs or whether he's subsequently had them amputated. But what it means is that he now has prosthetic limbs, and he's a sprinter. He runs in the 100, the 200 and the 400 metre sprints with the aid of prosthetic limbs. And initially he was banned from being able to run because his prosthetic limbs were said to be performance enhancing devices, and then that was subsequently overruled by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. So it's the first time now that he can participate in the Olympic Games proper, if you like, as opposed to the Paralympic Games. So that's wonderful. So look out for Oscar Pistorius, who they've nicknamed the fastest man on legs.
So we've got lots
the fastest man on their legs.
We've got lots of people to cheer on in the Olympics. Thanks, Ben. And I guess I should just mention also, if you've been listening to the interview today, actually, Matthew Snell, who's the principal of Woolloombellum College, he has flown over to London to see his sister, Belinda, who is playing in the Australian women's basketball team. So keep an eye out for Belinda Snell as well.
Good one. Well, thanks for that wonderful report about Woolloombellum College. That was fascinating, Felicity.
No problem. So we'll just take a short break.
Indeed. Now, coming up next, we've got Mujeres Latin Americas. Are we going to have a quick sting first, are we?
Turn your dial to 8:55 a.m. and listen to Right Now Radio on 3CR, getting human rights on your radio waves.
So, as you well know, you've been listening to Right Now Radio on Melbourne's own 3CR 8:55 a.m. I'm your host, Felicity James, and I've been in the studio with Ben Shockman tonight. So, each Thursday night at 6 p.m, Right Now Radio brings you interviews with people on the ground in human rights in our community. Keep listening to 3CR. As Ben said, up next is Mujeres Latin Americas. But the final song tonight is by local Indigenous artist from the Latrobe Valley, Junior Boy. This is Yesterday's Gone. Thanks again for listening to Right Now Radio, and we hope you've enjoyed the show.
Indeed. And a quick plug, check out the Right Now website, rightnow.org.au, while you're listening to Junior Boy.
Indeed. And follow us on Twitter at Right Now Inc.